You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Hi, I'm back here. How's it going? Would you say it's differently? Yeah, how about it? So I'm going to teach from back here this morning. And perhaps that's going to be different. And actually, it's really going to be different for everybody that comes in like, oh, you just went to the bathroom, Kirk, because we all see the light on the door right there. So go ahead and turn the house lights on, and I'm going to ask you, the audience, what things do you see as you look back in this direction that perhaps you never noticed before? My handsome face. All right, you haven't noticed that before. I appreciate that. I have no hair, right? Yeah, you're so close, right? What else? What do you see? What do you, like, as you not look at me, but like, what do you guys notice for the first time looking back this way? There's a camera back there. Okay, yeah. There's people behind you. Yeah, front row, right? And these are the people in the back. They're like, we're going to hide in the back row. And now they're the front row. So, what else? Do you notice maybe any more leaks in the roof over that way? I don't know. Other things do you see? Anything different? Do you look this way normally? Probably not. It looks a little bare. Okay. All right. Yeah, you're looking at what I look at, right? Those people. Oh, yeah. The amazing people back there. And I think if we add all of their ages up compared to John, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying if we add them up, you know, they probably are similar. So we've got a great group of people back there that run things. And maybe there's some extra cobwebs that we don't see in that direction. But we're in a garage and, you know, you kind of have to deal with that. So one of the things that you're probably realizing, you guys probably not so much, but you guys definitely, is that this is uncomfortable. And I'll just say, you better get comfortable because I'm not moving. I'm staying back here for the next 45 minutes. So if you want to try to turn your chairs, you can. If you want to, unfortunately, you guys can't because those rows are locked. But do your best to turn this way. Yeah, this is great. Try doing that with pews. And you're going to need to look that way for the screen, too. So, like, it's going to be both ways. You're going to have to trust me on that. So, and then, am I on this camera? Which camera am I on right now? That one. So, hi, everybody. Now you're going to hopefully leave them like that, yes. And our people would probably not appreciate that. So what we're talking about this morning, as we're going through this series called What is MC3 City? We are talking about the short version, or the fancy official version, is that these are our core values as a church. This is who we are, what defines us, what defines MC3. And these are values that, you know, 12, 13 years ago when we were, actually, what day is today? Yeah, so the 16th will be our 12-year anniversary for MC3. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting. 12, right? Did I do the math on that? Where's Kirk? Did I do the math on that? It's 12 or 13. I don't remember. It wasn't 01. 11, yeah, it was 2011. Yeah, so that would be 12 years. So anyway, but we kind of crafted these saying, okay, we know our process, and if you look back over your right shoulder, you'll see the it's for you guys, it'll be left shoulder. The C3 process there, community, congregation, and caring. That is what we do. That's what we do well. We focused on keeping it simple. We talked about that a few weeks ago when we talked about what is simplicity. But the core values are kind of like they're like the guardrails. This is the path that the core values kind of keep us on track for what we do and why we do it. And the core value that we're going to talk about today is differently. And the point is this, if you want to look that way, it says what MC3 City is differently. There we go. We risk to reach. MC3 City is differently. We risk to reach. And we're talking about doing things in a different way. Now, of course, the only reason I'm... Well, I guess it's not for no reason. I'm doing this on purpose to shake us up a little bit. But change, just for the sake of change, is not the purpose here. The purpose is to reach people. And we're willing to take risks. And so if you look at the screen behind you, the full version of the core value goes like this. It's differently is the name of the core value. And it says change. Let's just stop right there. If you grew up in church, I grew up in church. If you are an older person, I'm an older person. Change is a bad word. Like change is six letters, but it's a four-letter word, especially in churches and with old people. And you're like, no, that's six letters. Not if you bundle it. Anyway, and if that, what just happened there, it's a football commercial. Yeah, right. The idea of change is kind of a bad thing. And we say we want this to be one of our values. Because we want to be willing to change. So change, that's where we start. It goes, sometimes it takes different methods to reach people far from God. So we value taking risks by looking at things differently. And so this idea of we want to be able, we want to be willing, we want you to be willing, we want our teams to be willing, our ministry teams to be willing to take risks, to do things in a different way. And if they're doing it just for the sake of change, then that's not the reason. But if we're doing it to say, what is it going to take to reach people that aren't being reached by church? And we're going to come back to this a little bit later. But you know, if we want to reach people that aren't being reached in Mifflin County, we can't do what everybody else is doing. Because they're reaching those people. We don't want to reach those people. We want to reach people that aren't being reached. And so, again, we'll come back to that. But this idea of being willing to take risks and to do things differently. And we're going to come back to all of these things and pull them together in a minute. But I want to look at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And so if you have the brand new updated YouVersion app, good luck finding 1 Corinthians 9. They just updated it last week and now it's all like, change! It bothers me. And there you go. So confession, right? But we're going to look at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 19. And this is Paul. He is writing to the church that he planted in Corinth. He wrote two letters to them that we have as the part of the Bible. And the first letter was 1 Corinthians, and the second letter was 2 Corinthians. It was a church, I think we talked about this last week, actually. Corinth is in what was modern-day Greece. It's like the southern end of modern-day Greece. And he planted a church there, and in this letter he shared some things. And one thing he shared was about himself. Was that Paul did it differently. He was willing to do things differently to reach people that had never been reached for Jesus, to reach people with the message of Jesus, the gospel, which is the fancy word for a Greek word that just means good news, because it's good news, because it's going to change people's eternities. You know what I realized? I don't have a clock. My clock is up on that stage. So we're just going to wing it here. You're just going to have to get uncomfortable for the next 3 hours. no, I'm good. You don't need to keep me posted on the time because it'll really mess me up. It'll freak me out. But I will look at my watch. But Paul was willing to do things differently. And the first part of verse 19, we see that Paul risked to reach. And he was willing to do things. And that's what verse 19 says in 1 Corinthians. It says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many people as possible. Though I am free, he's like, I'm a free guy. I'm free. I'm not stuck in slavery. I'm not stuck in the rules or the legal obligation. He says, but because of that, despite that, I am intentionally making myself a slave to other people. I'm putting myself beneath them. He says, to win as many as possible. See, Paul was like, you know what? It's not about me. It's not about my agenda. It's not about my comfort. I'm willing to do what it takes to reach as many people as possible because people need Jesus. And we can be comfortable and stay where we are and be in a nice, and again, I'm going to come back to this later, in a nice, you know, simple way, in an easy, you know, I mean, it's a little chilly in here, but that's what you get when you've got a garage with window air conditioners. Like, we don't have a fancy system. And that's part of that is because we want to be intentional about reaching people. And it's going to be uncomfortable. And so Paul was willing to risk. And we need to say, am I willing? Are you willing to put yourself beneath others? Are you willing to say, you know what? You don't even deserve this. But I'm going to do this because I care about you hearing about the message of Jesus. And so that's the first part is that Paul risked to reach. And then he kind of breaks down four different things that he did, four different ways that he reached people in a risky way. And if you go to our, you can actually go, and this is on the slide before and after, but our series, Simply MC3, Simply Congregation, we talked about these some of these different ways that we reach people. And if you guys remember, that was like last year, and that's where we talked about the water. And we take this same pure water, but we put it in different types of containers. Maybe it's a sippy cup to reach toddlers. Maybe it's in a bottle to reach infants. Maybe it's in a coffee cup to reach adults. The message doesn't change, but what we do, how we package that message, changes. And so he shares four different things. The first thing that he did is that he adapted to the Jews. Now, Paul was Jewish. That was his cultural background. That is who he was by birth. He was Jewish. And he says in verse 19, part B, go ahead and throw that on the screen there because I'm gonna be rolling back and forth on here. He says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew. Why? To win the Jews. And so what he's saying is here is that they're a cultural group of people, and when I'm around them, I'm going to act like them. I'm going to respect, let's not say act like them, I'm going to respect their cultural rules. I'm going to say things in a way that they understand. I'm going to speak their language. And he was sensitive to the needs of the culture. He could have been like, you know, you guys are Jewish, but I'm beyond that now because of what Jesus has done in my life, and you better get right with God and just kind of leave it like that. But he actually communicated in a language that they could understand, communicated in a way that they would get it. And so he did that for the sake of reaching people. And I guess the question for us is like, you know, let's just say it this way. We're in a world, we're in a culture, we're in a county that, you know, there's people, including you and me, that don't always act perfect. There's people that are kind of obnoxious. There are people that are kind of rude. And people need Jesus. And so we can be like, oh, you're wrong and I'm good. Or we can speak in a language that they understand. And again, I am, just to be clear, God is doing some really cool stuff at MC3. He has been for 12 years. And we are not in any way better than any other church. I will say we are different from other churches. And I think we're allowed to say that. We are different. And one of the things that we intentionally did was, you know what? If we're going to reach people that don't wear suits and shirts and ties any other time in their life, not even to funerals, and be like, oh, come to church where you're going to sit and you have to wear a suit and tie. Like, we have to do it in a way that people are comfortable. And even like, and again, there's nothing wrong. It's beautiful artistry. It's worship. It was worship using lights. Stained glass windows was worship using light. And they're really cool, but some people are very uncomfortable with that. But you know what? Dude, our garage leaks half of the time, and it smells funny. If this drain, oh, there's a drain under me. If it dries up, you'll know. Like, this is the old mechanic's drain right underneath this spot. And we just, because we're breaking down some of those walls, we want to speak the language of our culture. We want to speak the language of the people around us. And you know, if you've interacted with people, you might hear words that perhaps are not words that you'd want your little kids to be repeating. And we don't. But we're also not going to be like, well, you shouldn't talk that way. Like, no, we're gonna meet people where they are. And that's what Paul did. He said, to the Jews, I became like them. I spoke their language. And right now, Kendra is teaching in Ignition. And in Ignition, we teach your kids the exact same things that you're learning in here. And one of the things she's talking about is she's having the kids talking about, like, you know, watch out, look both ways before crossing the street. Would you agree that's kind of an important thing for kids to learn, and adults? And if you've gone to like a dangerous intersection, I've seen these signs now that says, look left, look right, look left, and then pull out. Like, they have to tell us that. But it's important. But if she said, cuidado, porque hay muchos carros sobre la calle. El calle, la calle, la calle. Okay, I don't know what that means. And that might have been life-saving instructions, because in English, that's be careful, because there's a lot of cars in the street. And if we don't speak the language that people understand, and we have a message that could save their lives, we need to communicate in a way that they get it. And so that's what the kids are learning. She's got a whole bunch of different languages to communicate that, and I'd love to hear her do some of those, because she can speak Spanish pretty well and English pretty well, but she's got some other crazy language. But that's the whole point, is communicating in a way they understand. And what's really cool, and I'm not going to get into this, but you can look at it in the Word, the Sequel series, that's also on the thing, or the Story series, but we look at the four Gospels. The Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the beginning of what is called the New Testament. And those are four different views of the same story of Jesus and his life and what he did. And what's wild about them is that they were written by different people. Matthew, the book of Matthew, was written by Matthew, and he was Jewish. And so his whole message, the way he words a lot of the book of Matthew, is directed to Jewish people. And he talks about things like Messiah that Jewish people understood. But then you go over to Mark, and he wrote to Romans. And he talks about Jesus being a servant, because Romans understood what it looked like to be a servant, because the Roman authorities made you serve them whether you liked it or not. And Luke was written to Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. And so he just talked about humanity. Everybody gets that. What does it look like for Jesus to be a perfect human? And John wrote to everyone, and so his message was Jesus is God. And so even in your Bible, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are four different perspectives because they were written for a specific purpose, speaking the language of the people that were there. So I need to keep moving. So Paul, the first thing is that he adapted to the Jews. The second thing is he adjusted for the lawed. And you can look back there because that's really a word. Not the lawed. That would be like if Steph says, I praise the Lord. Is that like a New York thing with some bagels? Praise the Lord. I don't know. But he adjusted for the Lord. And so he goes on in verse 20 and says, to those under the law, I became like one under the law. And then he clarifies, he says that though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. So Paul says, look, there were a bunch of people and they're under this law, this Old Testament rule. And he explains that there's multiple things, and we're not going to get into that now, how we do not follow the law. We are not to follow the law because Jesus came and fulfilled the law. He changed it. The law was a bunch of rules for the Jewish people in the Old Testament that they had to follow. And the whole point, and this is even said multiple times in the New Testament, the whole point was to show that you can't do it. You're not good enough to do it on your own. And that's why you need someone to do it for you. And that's what Jesus came to do. And so he says to the law, the people under the law, I became like them. I understood their rules. I respected their traditions. I did the things the way they do them. And I don't know about you guys, if you've been somewhere that has a tradition or a thing that they do, like whatever you come into the house with, you just bring it in, you will vacuum it up later. But I know many of you are like, oh, the shoes stay at the door. Some of you are wash your hands when you come into the house. And if shoes stay at the door, if I go to your house and shoes are at the door, I'll probably kick my shoes off unless they're these stinking high tops that lace up forever, or my boots and I just can't get them off. Like, we'll be done with our social time by the time my shoes are off. But anyway, but the point is, you respect the traditions. You respect what is going on there. And that's what Paul did. He says, look, there are people that are following the law, and these people, which is interesting, these are religious people. And they think that by doing good things, they're going to get to heaven. And Paul, of course, realizes that we can never do a good enough. We can never be enough. And I've said this before, you know, it's kind of like the idea of you might be a really good jumper, or we could get a world champion long jumper. And no matter how good you are trying to make it, you're still, that long jumper is never going to be able to jump from the East Coast of the United States to England. Because there's just not enough. And that's the whole point. People are trying to do good things. And Paul says, look, I want to see those people come to Jesus. So I'm gonna follow their standards and kind of help them understand that they can't do it on their own. And this is hard for us to hear. It's hard for the world, for people outside of the church to hear. Be like, I'm working really hard. I'm being nice. I'm going to church. I'm giving money. You know, I support a sponsored kid. But doing these things is not going to get you to heaven. It's only through Jesus. And Paul says, I'm going to respect those people and help them to see that they need something more. And so he says to those under the law, I became like one of them. He says, I'm not under the law. I'm not bound by these rules. But I'm just helping them to understand. I'm willing to do things different. So you realize Jews are similar to those under the law. Well, then he goes on and it says he accepted the lawless. So now he's swinging completely in the other direction. He adjusted for the people that were under the law, and then he accepted the lawless. And he goes on in verse 21 and says, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. And then he goes and says, though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under the Christ's law, meaning we're not following the legal rules, but we still want to honor Jesus. And why did he do that? So as to win those not having the law. And so he accepted these people without the law. So in one sense, he's over here saying, I'm going to respect the people that are following this Jewish Old Testament law. And then in a completely other direction, he says, I'm over here with people that have no clue what the law is. We would call them, or the Bible would call them, Gentiles, meaning non-Jewish people. And for the most part, that's probably you, unless you have some Jewish blood in your family tree. But he says, I'm going to be like these people over here, but if I'm with these people, I'm going to meet them where they are. I'm going to speak to them in their language. And the phrase here, those without having the law, another way to translate it, because this was written in Greek, that's what people spoke in Corinth. And another way to translate it would be those that are lawless. Those people that are far from God. They're not even interested in anything that might be like church, that might be like Jesus. And so he goes to them and accepts them where they are. And one of the things that I've grown up in my church background and just some of the different churches I've been a part of, I was one of these people, would often see someone and kind of have this idea of like, oh, your attitude and your language and the way you dress and the way you smoke and, oh man, clean yourself up and then you can come to church. And that's often communicated that way. But Paul was very clear. Like, that's not what he's doing. He's saying, you know what? Come as you are, and let's let God clean you up. Let's let God begin to chip away. And even if we're not a smoker or a person that says bad words or whatever, like all of us, this person right in front of you is constantly being chipped away to become more and more like Jesus, because I'm not perfect either. But Paul was willing. He was willing to do that. He was willing to accept those people. And the question is, are we going to say, you get cleaned up, then come to church, fix yourself, then show up here? Or do we say, we accept you? Which is what we talked about a couple weeks ago. Grace centricity. You know what? We accept you. It doesn't mean that we're content with everyone being in sin. I'm not content with me being in sin. And we're actually going to talk about that in our next series in November called Drastic. At one point, Jesus says, cut off your hand, because it's better to lose your hand than to get stuck in sin. And that seems pretty drastic, and so we'll talk about that next month. But this idea of saying, we accept you, that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter how you're living, we accept you. And Jesus did the same for us. Jesus accepted us. Because you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect, and we're messed up people. And if Jesus said, get perfect before I will accept you, we're all going to hell. Because we have no hope. I mean, I don't know. I mean, even Paul, he said over in Romans, he says, like, you know what? Every time I try to do something good, I end up doing the wrong thing. Every time I do this is the time I'm not going to do that wrong thing. He ends up doing it anyway. He's like, man, who's going to save me from this? What a messed up person I am. And he said, thanks be to God, the answer is Jesus. Even Paul, he wrote half of the New Testament, realized that he couldn't do it. And so he says, I'm going to go to the people that don't have the law, that don't do churchy things, that aren't good people, and I'm going to accept them. And I'm going to say, you know what? Come in. You're welcome here. And then finally, he accommodated the weak. He accommodated the weak. And that's in the first part of verse 22. And again, each time he says this, to this group, I did this. Why? To win. He says, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. And this word win doesn't mean win, by the way, just to be clear here. He's not like, because it's a battle, and I'm fighting, and I'm going to win, and you're going to lose. Because if there's a winner, there's usually a loser. And that makes you a loser. But that's not what Paul said. The word win doesn't mean win like win or lose. It means win like winsome, to compel, to attract, to draw. So you might have heard that, you know, someone being a winsome person, they have a winsome personality. They're the kind of person you like being around because they just make you feel good. They're attractive to you. And that's what Paul's doing here. He says, I'm doing all these things for these different people because I want to be attracted to them, because I want them to see Jesus through me, because this message is going to save them. Cuidado, hay coches sobre la calle. There are cars on the street. Be careful. But if we don't speak in a language that they understand, they're going to get hit. If we don't speak in a language of the gospel, of the message of Jesus in a way they understand, they're going to go to hell. And so Paul goes on and says, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. And this is an interesting phrase. Because a lot of times, you know, and I don't know what you've thought of if you ever grew up in church, if you're familiar with this passage about Paul kind of doing what it takes to reach the people around him. To the weak, you know, he says, I'm willing to accommodate people that don't have it all together. I'm willing to give some grace and extend some grace to people. You know what? You're just not perfect, and that's okay. I'm willing to give in to someone that says, oh, I'm going to be at church every week, and then they don't come. He says, I'm going to accept the weak. And I have this statement here. People that we might call bad, Paul might call weak. How often we look at that, oh, there's no chance for them. Oh, they're going to hell. They're evil. They are bad people. They don't vote the way I do. They do things that I don't like. They did something that was so horrendous, I can't even repeat it to you. And we would say they're bad and there's no hope for them. And Paul might say, you know what? Maybe they're just weak. Maybe they're just weak because they're stuck in the same sin that we're stuck in before Jesus. And we can look at them and say, oh, you're bad, you're done. Or we can say, you know what? How about I help you? Because that's what we do with someone that's weak. We had the opportunity to go to the Mercy Me, Crowder, other guy concert last night. And I found myself sitting in the same position for a long time and then having to walk up steps. And I'm like, yep, I'm older. And just kind of thinking about, like, it would be nice, you know, how do you help someone that can't handle the steps? You come alongside of them. You help them. You give them an arm. Instead of saying, oh, too bad for you. Sucks that you're old, sucker. And just leave it there. Like, that's what the church could do for someone that's, you know, not perfect. Or we could say, how can I help you? You're not there yet, but I'm going to accommodate you. And that's what Paul looks at. And again, this idea of being bad versus weak. And are we willing to see others as weak rather than just bad? And maybe that doesn't land anywhere with you. Maybe that doesn't make any sense. But I know a lot of times it's easy to criticize those people that don't fit our categories, that don't fit our boxes of what church people should be, of what good people should be. Let's forget church. And Paul says, you know what? I recognize that those people, they're not perfect. And instead of kicking them while they're stuck in their seat in row C of section 110, I'm going to help them up and climb those seats, those stairs, not the seats. That would be really weird, but you could do that too, I guess. So those are the four things that Paul did. He was willing to go to the people that were Jewish, and he said, when I'm hanging out with Jewish people, culturally, I'm going to be like them. And to be clear, Paul wasn't getting into sin. So it's not like, oh, you know what, I'm going to go get drunk and hang out with all the people at the bar so that I can reach them for Jesus. That's not the same thing. It's okay to go to a bar to reach people for Jesus, but it's not just going all the way into their sin. You know, I'm not gonna go murder people so I can reach the murderers. Like, that's not what Paul's getting at. But he's willing to go to them. He says, to the people that were Jews, I became like a Jewish person. Why? To win the Jews, so that I can attract the Jews to Jesus. And to the people that were following the law and think it's about being good enough and doing enough, you know what? I understood. I said, yeah, I get where you are, and I want to become like you. I want to help you understand so that I can be attractive to you, so I can win you. And he says to those people, completely on the other side of it, without the law. He says, I went to them and I'm going to be like them if I'm around them. And I'm going to not say churchy words, because churchy people understand churchy words. Unchurchy people don't understand churchy words. And honestly, and this is not at all, please do not respond with applause or anything like that. But, you know, when I teach, I work very hard to try to communicate in a way that's easy to understand. Because I could easily throw out the Greek words, totally be like, well, I'm just really smart and you're not, and I know all the Greek words. And the koine here, Paul says, according to, like, and there's value to the Greek, I'm not saying anything like that, or the original languages. But just trying to communicate in a way that people understand. And just in this past week, I was somewhere and I heard someone speaking, and actually some of you were there with me, The speaker, we went to the Orange Tour with some of the MC3 family, MC3 student people, and the speaker did not understand what Central Pennsylvania was all about. And this one person said something about, like, what did they say? They said something about someone that was like a blue collar worker, or they just had a regular everyday blue collar job. And he said it kind of like everybody in the audience be like, oh, I can't believe, you know, someone like that. And the audience was kind of like, huh? Because culturally, like, that's what Central Pennsylvania is. And then there was a comment about farming. That's the other half of Central Pennsylvania. But the point is speaking in a way that the people that you're speaking to understand. And so then I want to kind of, so he's got all those four different areas. And then he said to the weak, I'm accommodating them. I realize that maybe people that we would look at and say they're bad, they're messed up, maybe they're just not all together. Maybe they're just weak. Maybe they need help. And then the beautiful part about this, and I love this, and this is so important for us to understand, is that the last thing, so Paul risked to reach, that was those four different areas, Jew, under the law, without the law, the weak. But then he relied on the rewards. And that's what verse 22b through 23 is. He relied on the rewards. And the point is this, that Paul wasn't doing this because of, well, let me just read it to you. In 1 Corinthians 9:22a to 23, it says, I have become, so he's wrapping all this up, he says, I have become all things to all people. So he gave us four examples, but he says, if I'm around people that need Jesus, I'm going to kind of adapt to where they are. I've become all things. I'm going to do whatever it takes for all people. And then he says, so by all possible means, so I'm going to become anything that I need to for any group of people, and I'm going to do it however it needs to be done, no matter what. All. He says that word three times. And then he says that I might save some. Not all. That I might draw some to Jesus. He said, I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. And so Paul was willing to give all for a return that became some. And if you're a financial person or a financial advisor were to talk to you, they would say that does not have a very good ROI, a return on investment. You do not invest all knowing that you're going to get back some. Frankly, it's the opposite. You invest some knowing that you're going to get back all. But Paul says, I'm not doing this for the return on investment. I'm not looking at it as a financial transaction. He says, I'm going to do whatever it takes, because if I could just win some, if just some people would come to Jesus by my willingness to risk, it is worth it. He says, I'm willing to do that. If that's what it takes, if I spend my life and only one person comes to Jesus, that is one person that makes it worth it. And my question is, aren't you glad that someone risked to reach you? Because they have been like, you know, this isn't worth it. It's not worth it. You're not worth it. Your heart isn't worth it. Your eternity is not worth it. But somebody took that risk. And that's what Paul says. You know, I'm going to do whatever it takes, because it might not be everyone, but if it's just some, then it's worth it, because it mattered for those people. And risk, and this is the truth. This is why the word risk, what it means definition wise, risk means that there's a chance of failure. And so that means that Paul did all of this not knowing that this is going to work every time. I'm going to put some things out there. I'm going to risk some things. I'm going to change. I'm going to be around people that frankly will end up being a waste of his time, because they didn't give their hearts to Jesus. But he said, for the few, it's worth it. And so, you know, this willingness to risk. Are you willing to risk? Are you willing to do what it takes to reach people? And again, aside from sin, because that's, I mean, it's very clear throughout the Bible that we're not supposed to engage in sin to reach people. But what are you willing to do to risk to reach people? And again, risk equals failure. This is one of our core values as a church. We want, as elders, I want, Chris and I, as pastors, your ministry team coordinators, we want to be able to give you the freedom, the safety net to say, you know what, you see something in a way that might reach people that we haven't done before. And that might require risk. We've risked on some things. If you've been here for, well, I don't know, it's like 8 or 9, 10 years ago. But we risked and we said, hey, you know what would be really cool? Let's have Easter Sunday breakfast at the fire hall. See? It was a train wreck. It was like, so it's Easter Sunday, okay? We're talking about church. On Easter Sunday, we started telling people, stop inviting people. Stop inviting people to church, because we don't have room We had our worship band set up there, and the Brooklyn was awesome. We actually had it right across the street here. It was a fifth Sunday. We're like, let's do something different, and let's try something. Wouldn't it be really cool to meet in the community? And so many people showed up. We didn't have the right amount of food. And then with the sound, the band was like in this, like stuck back behind like this stage area, if you've ever been there for like bingo night. And so like half of the room couldn't even hear or see them. Like it was just a mess. And we're like, hey, you know what? Yeah, we failed, but it was worth it. It was worth a try. If you've been around for a while too, you know, we had the Pit Stop app for MC3 Family, for kids and parents. And we're like, this seems like the right direction. And we feel God was leading us that way. Like, we're going to try something new and have an app for families. And it just didn't go well. Like, it sounded good on paper. And everybody, frankly, I think if we all talked to every one of you that were involved with that app, you'd be like, yeah, oh, I think it's a great idea. Did you use it? Well, no. So it wasn't worth it. But we failed there. And now, just last Sunday, we launched Jumpstart. And it's incredible. And you're going to see a commercial for it in a couple more weeks. You're going to want to be here. Actually, in November, it's also MC3 Eats Sunday, because that's the day daylight savings changes. And because of that, we're going to have an open house for Jumpstart. So it's for everybody to be here and then enjoy MC3 Eats afterwards. But the idea of trying things in a new way. Some of you might remember one of the things, you know, we try to do some fun things. Like in this series, we've got the This is MC3 City videos. One year we did a series, I think it was Church Club. And we actually looked it up and found what are some world records that haven't been broken? And we thought every Sunday, wouldn't it be really cool to break a world record for real? And we broke the world record for like the number of people sticking up a sticky hand at the same time. We gave everybody sticky hands to stick up things. And then we did a world record on, I think we have like rock, paper, scissors. I think there's two guys in the back doing rock, paper, scissors for like an hour and a half. And that was the world record. And then we had this great idea. Wouldn't it be cool to break the world record for s'mores? The tallest s'more. How many of you were here for that? Anybody remember that? It was a literal mess. In my mind, it was like, this would be really cool. We'll get people like this. Wouldn't it be fun to be a part of breaking a world record? We give everybody like a piece of chocolate and a marshmallow and a graham cracker. And we had a table back there, and we said, just line up. And in my mind, they were like, and they would just stack it up there, and like in 60 seconds, we would be done. There was a line, and it was like, I'm telling you, it was like 25 minutes. And I eventually had to call it off. I'm like, guys, we have other things to do here. You want to go home? Like, it was just a mess, but it's willing to risk. And sometimes it'll be failure. And you know, we've got another big risk coming up. We're dropping a lot of money into this block party. That's what I'm holding up. I'm holding up the block party thing. It's a risk, and no one might show up. But you know what? If somebody does and they don't know Jesus and don't go to church, because we're not trying to get people to go to other churches, we'll talk about that in just a second. If people show up, and if one person, one family says, you know what, I don't have a church, I don't know about this Jesus, but you know what, I'm willing to come and check out your church, then it's worth it. It's worth it for the sake of their eternity. So that was Paul. That's what he did. He was willing to risk. He was willing to make the changes to reach people. And the question is, you know, how are you willing to risk? What are you willing to do to reach people? And, you know, being a part of this. And we do things in a different way here on purpose because we want to reach people that don't know Jesus. So I need to keep moving on. So the point is, MC3 City is differently. We risk to reach. So I want to talk about this idea of looking the other way. Looking the other way, because right now you're looking the other way. I don't mean like looking the other way, like ignoring someone, but changing your perspective. And if you're really old like me, you'll remember the movie Dead Poets Society. And I remember this scene, and I've actually replicated that when I was a school teacher back in the day. What? You were a school teacher? Yeah, we can talk about this some other time. But I had all this, in this scene, the teacher had everyone stand up on their desks and talk about what they saw there. And just how many things you notice differently, just simply standing up in a different spot, in a higher vantage point. And so I want to talk about, what does it look like to look the other way? I want to share a few things about differently and what they mean for us as a church and perhaps us as individuals. The first thing is that differently means reaching the unreached. Reaching the unreached. And un is in a different color there, just for a theme here. But we're looking at reaching the unreached. In Romans 15, Paul writes a letter to the church in Rome. And he's sharing kind of his own journey of planting churches. And he says in verse 20 to 21, and honestly, I never even realized, I would read through this, but never really thought about what he's saying. And in verse 20 in the NLT, he says, my ambition has always been, now listen to this, to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard. That's his goal. rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. Hey, I've been following the plan spoken in the scriptures where it says those who have never been told about him will see and those who have never heard about him will understand. And so we'd be like, oh, well, why'd you plant a church in Mifflin County? Like, that's a good question. We can talk about that some other time. But the issue was because we wanted to do things in a different way. If we planted a church here that looked like every other church in town, we have wasted time and money and effort and everything. But the goal was we want to reach people that other churches aren't reaching. And there's a quote by a guy named Craig Rochelle, and I'll read it so you can understand and kind of comprehend it. It says, if we want to reach people that no one is reaching, so that's our goal, then we have to do things that no one is doing. Make sense so far? They're not being reached. We have to do things that no one is doing. But in order to do things that no one is doing, we can't do what every other church is doing. And frankly, I've had people over the years come up and say, why don't we do this thing like that church? Because you just answered the question. Because that church is already doing it. We don't need to duplicate what they're doing because they're reaching people that we don't need to try to duplicate that. And so our goal is to say, how can we reach people that don't go to church? What can we do in a way that is different? And I talked about this a couple weeks ago when we were looking at simplicity and the challenge, the difference between, you know, how much easier it is. It is so much easier to go to your neighbor's garden and steal a tomato. But how much harder it is to grow your own tomatoes. Because to grow your own tomatoes, you have to till the soil. And you have to make sure you've got the right soil there. And you have to get the seeds. And you have to plant them. And you have to water them regularly. And you have to get rid of the weeds. You have to get rid of the bugs. And you have to do whatever you can to keep growing this thing. And maybe you don't even get anything in the first year. It might take a few years. And we talked about how, you know, our goal, our job, whatever, as a church, is not to take people from other churches. They're being reached by churches. Then we don't need to reach them. And it would be easier to do that. It'd be way easier to steal people from other churches. It's hard work to grow your own vegetables. And we want to grow people in Jesus. So we're starting from people that don't know Jesus and saying, how can we start where you are and do things in a way that no one else is doing it? So that's the first thing. Differently means reaching the unreached. The second thing is differently means serving the undeserved. And undeserved is in quotes if you look at the screen. Undeserved is in quotes. And the idea is, are we willing to be uncomfortable? Are we willing to get messy? Are we willing to do these things that for people that normally be like, yeah, you're not worth it. You're not worth my time. You're not worth my effort. And in John chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, there's this passage. And you guys, if you've grown up in church, even if you haven't, you probably are somewhat familiar with this passage. But this is where Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at a well. And he asks her for living water. And actually, we talked about this during the in the building block series. And that week was actually called Block Party, ironically. But the idea of, we looked at this passage of Jesus with the Samaritan woman. But there's this really powerful thing. And if you could kind of see the screen there, that would be really great. He says, now Jesus, this is the beginning of verse chapter 4. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So just a little background story. He says, so he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. So he had to leave Judea and go back once more to Galilee. Now, in green, or whatever, orange, I know my colors. In orange, it says, now he had to go through Samaria. And then it goes on, so he came to this town in Samaria called Sychar, and there was a well there, and he sat down by the well, and he was really tired. It was about noon, and then it says a Samaritan woman came out to draw water. And then the passage continues. But this idea of having to go through Samaria, that is actually not true. A good Jewish person did not interact with Samaritan people. And as far as the map, there was actually a road that Jewish people could use to go from Judea to Galilee, and they would go around Samaria. So a normal, if you were a Jewish person, if you were a reader of the Gospel of John here, you'd be like, no, Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria. Everybody knows that's not the way you get there. It'd be like us saying, you know, I need to get to New York City, so I have to go through Ohio. No, no, that's not how it works. And if you're not following me, go look at a map later. But this is the point, because Jesus says, I'm going to go to people that no one else is reaching. I'm going to go to people that no one else likes. The Samaritans were unliked, and there's a whole lot of issues with that. They intermarried with, they were Jewish people originally. They were intermarrying with other cultures, and I don't have time to get into that whole story. But the point was Jesus, on purpose, intentionally, went to a place where people were being ignored, to people that were undeserved. In the eyes of a good Jewish person, no one should be talking to a Samaritan. But Jesus went there. And so it was messy. And actually, the passage continues. It's not on the screen. But his disciples come back and see him talking to a woman, and they're like, what's he doing? He's talking to a Samaritan woman. Does he know who she is? Doesn't he understand what kind of person she is? Does he know how she votes? She didn't vote my way last election. And this idea of looking at people in a different way. And the question, like I said, are we willing to be uncomfortable? Because it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be messy. And I'll just be honest, it would be easier as a pastor. It would be easier if we were shiny plastic people. There was an old song by a group called Casting Crowns about shiny plastic people. And the idea was that everyone looks good on the outside. On Sunday morning, they're great. And you go home and you have a problem. But the great thing is that if you're just shiny plastic, your life is good and my job is easy. If you're all perfect, my job is easy. If you're all perfect, Chris's calendar is far emptier as the C3 caring pastor. But it's going to be messy, and you're going to get into lives, and you're going to know people, and we're going to reach people and be like, this isn't pretty and clean. Yeah, I know. But if we're looking for pretty and clean, this isn't the place to find it. Because pretty and clean people don't need Jesus. It's the undeserved. And so even one thing, we, in this building, this location, as Chris and I were joking, you're on the main campus of Mifflin County Community Church. We don't really have any other campuses, but it sounds fancy that way. And what do we decide? That's the auxiliary parking is in the back there, and the west wing. You know, anyway, but we're here on purpose. We wanted a building. As we got together 12 and a half years ago, we want a building that's downtown. We're not looking to reach the suburbs. You guys are from the suburbs, and what does that look like? But we would have said, you know what? A lot of churches are leaving the downtown area. We want to come into this area. How can we be a part of Mifflin County culture? And intentionally putting a building right here. And we didn't put the building here. Wilson did in 1930-something. But that was on purpose, that we wanted to be here. We wanted to reach people that perhaps are looked down upon. They're looked at in a different light. And you have those people all around you, in your neighborhoods, in your jobs, in your schools. And maybe we need to look at Jesus' attitude where, you know what, I have to go to them. I could ignore them because it'd be way easier because I don't want to get picked on with them. But I'm going to go to those people. I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to do things differently. And then finally, the third thing that we see is that differently means using the unusual. Differently means using the unusual. And in Acts chapter 17, I'm not going to read the passage, but in 16 to 23, here's the point. Paul goes to Athens. And again, he's a missionary. He's planting churches. He's telling people about Jesus. And he goes to Athens. And in Athens, which is where all the philosophers live, where all the, you know, the Stoics, all the wise people, you got your Plato, and, you know, they weren't there at the same time as Paul. But that's kind of where it came from, Greece, you know, the Greek culture of Athens and all that. And he goes to Athens, and there's these idols all over the place, like pagan idols, like idols. We, you know, even if you don't go to church, you know, idol is a bad thing. Unless Simon Cowell is attached to it. That's still a bad thing. But anyway, but mostly because of Simon Cowell. Anyway, but this idea of saying idols are a bad thing. And so Paul goes to these people and he starts telling them about Jesus. And they're like, well, this is an interesting teaching. Please come to the town center and tell us more. Because the scholars, the philosophers wanted to know that. And so he's now speaking to a group of people that are extremely educated. And what does he do? He goes and says, go to the next slide there for me so I can I see what I'm saying. He goes and says, men of Athens, he's speaking to these people, these philosophers, these scholars. Men of Athens, I notice you're very religious in every way. And I was walking along, as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines. And one of your altars or idols had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. He said, this God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. And so Paul goes to the scholars and uses an idol to teach people about Jesus. He was willing to risk. And again, there would be a whole lot of church people today be like, you would never use an idol. How dare you do that? Oh, that's awful. Why would you use something pagan like that? You're going to hell yourself with Jesus, you know, or not with Jesus, but instead of Jesus. And like, but Paul was saying, I'm going to use something that's an unusual thing. I'm going to use something in a different way because it connects with their audience. And so he was willing to risk. He wasn't worshiping that idol, but he was using an idol as a way to communicate the message of Jesus, a pagan idol. And so we intentionally, we're using an old garage. We use secular music. If you come to the block party, our band is going to do a set list of some of the cover songs that they've done. And what do we have? I think we've got we definitely have some Johnny Cash on that list. A little bit of Bon Jovi. What are some other things there? I think Collective Soul. But those are songs that we have done here, and people are like, how dare you use those songs in church? Well, we use them because they are designed for a purpose to connect people to a message. And when we did Black Hole Sun during the book of Job, and how to Job everything looked awful. This was last winter, yeah. And he had that same perspective, like nothing can be good. And we sang that song to tie into the story of Job. And we actually have a YouTube channel with the MC3 band cover songs. But again, secular music. We use fog and lights because we want to reach people that don't go to church. And church people are like, oh, fog and lights, that's like a pagan concert. Okay, fine. But if this is what it takes, I'm going to do all means to reach some. And if people come in here and go, hey, I know what this is like a concert. I can engage this. I don't know this Jesus that you're worshiping. I don't quite understand that, but I'm comfortable in this room because it's kind of fun. And so we're okay with that. We want to reach people that need Jesus. And God can use crazy things. He can use all sorts of things. He can use me and you to reach people for Jesus. And so the question is, what are we willing to do? Aside from sinning, Paul wasn't worshiping the idol. But how far are you willing to go to reach people for Jesus? How far are we willing to go to reach people for Jesus? And so that's what this is all about. Differently, MC3 City is differently. We risk to reach. It's not risk just because we're crazy adrenaline junkies. It's not change just because change is fun for some of you. Played my card there. I don't like change, but I realize the importance of it. And there are some younger people here that work, frankly, back there and do a lot of things that we're at tension with because Sean has to break away from I don't want to change to, you know what, are we trying to reach people for Jesus or are we trying to be comfortable? And we need to be willing to risk and do what it takes to reach people for Jesus. And that's what we do as a church. That's why we do things differently. So that we can draw people that don't go to church and give them a place. You know, maybe not they're going to walk in the door and be like, oh, your lights, I want to turn to Jesus. Probably not. But they might go, I'm comfortable here. They might show up and I've had conversations. And frankly, this even happened a couple of weeks ago. Someone came to this church. I was out getting soaked in the parking lot directing traffic. And I watched someone grab a collared shirt and throw it on and button it as they were walking in the door. I'm like, you don't need to do that here. And they're like, yeah, whatever. I know how churches are. But we want to be comfortable, casual. I mean, obviously I just have to be uncomfortable, but I mean, make an environment where people feel comfortable. Because it's about Jesus, and as Paul said, it's not about me. I'm going to be a slave. If I'm uncomfortable for the sake of someone else, it's worth it. Because I'm going to do everything that I can, whatever it takes, with whomever I need to reach, so that by every way I can do it, I might reach some. Because it makes a difference for those people. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Paul and his example and his willingness to reach, to do what it takes. And God, I pray for us. We in our head, this probably makes sense. And in our heart, this probably makes sense. But when it comes to taking those steps of discomfort, when it comes to risking popularity, when it comes to risking what other people might think about us, when it comes to risking a relationship, that's where it gets hard. And so I pray that you would help change us within and help us to take these steps and to even see it as Paul did. Every time might not be a win, but when we get the win, it matters so much. Help us to see people the way you see them, God. Just the way you see us, as broken people in desperate need of a Savior, because we can't do it on our own. We need Jesus. And that's why this message is gospel. This message is euangelion. This message is good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.